Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyar, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I am Doug McBurney, the host of the Weekly Worldview, right out there at theweeklyworldview.com. And I'm joined in studio today by
Bob Enyar. I could vouch that you are Doug McBurney.
Bob, you weren't supposed to be here today.
No, but I'm filling in for Greg Jackson.
Okay. Well, that's outstanding. I sure do appreciate you coming by the studio, Bob.
Yeah, it's great. Greg is on his way. We should have Greg here within minutes, but I thought I'd say hi.
Any moment now. I've been reading, Bob, today, Proverbs 28.
Mm-hmm.
What an awesome proverb.
Yeah?
I mean, it's just loaded with such good stuff. Listen to this. Proverbs 28:10. Warning, 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 Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead for those in the audience who advocate pluralism, diversity. We know here at Bob Enyart Live that you would not like anyone to ever even dare consider even thinking about possibly referencing a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice that raw and adulterated truth is about to be uttered.
Amen.
I kind of forgot that halfway through.
No, that works. And when you're done, Doug, Proverbs 28. Now, you didn't tell me what verse you're going to do. Could I guess?
Go ahead.
Just a wild guess.
A wild guess.
17.
17 was one that I was going to do, but I wanted to start with 10 because of some audio that we're going to roll in a little bit later.
Okay.
Whoever causes the upright to go astray in an evil way, he himself will fall into his own pit.
Whoa.
But the blameless will inherit good.
Whoa.
I was talking with Greg on the way up here to the studio.
Yeah. Greg Jackson, best-selling author.
Author of Conservative Comebacks to Liberal Lies. Mm. Fabulous, fabulous book. All of the rote liberal doxies that are out there, Greg knocks them all down.
Right.
Highly recommend that book. I think you can get it at gregjackson.com.
Yeah. Two G's. Greg with three G's.
Greg with three G's. You choose where to put them. We were talking about the difference in the levels of sin. It's been said in many a pulpit that all sins are the same.
Yeah.
But if you read the Bible, it seems to me that...
Jesus used the phrase, the greater sin. And he even said, he who brought me to you has the greater sin, talking to Pontius Pilate.
Yeah.
So there's obviously people with sins greater than Pontius Pilate's even, who sentenced Christ to death,
right,
an innocent man.
Wow. So Jesus himself said it.
The greater sin.
Yeah.
That means there's lesser sins.
Well, I was trying to find the verse, Bob, and I believe it's in Proverbs 28, where God talks about those who not only sin, but encourage others to join them in that sin.
Mm.
That's the greater sin. Because sin that hurts you or hurts the people around you is devastating enough.
Mm-hmm.
But then to encourage others to participate in that sin, and then even to celebrate that sin as superior to righteousness, well, that's the greater sin.
Mm.
And that occurred in spades this past week in the formerly great state of New York.
Formerly great state of New York, Greg Jackson is here. Doug, I'd like to hand off the mic to Greg Jackson, if that's all right.
I think if there was any man who could handle it, Bob, it would be Greg Jackson.
I think so. And hey, real quick for both of you guys.
Sunglasses.
Hey, Greg, good to see you in studio. Doug said Proverbs 28.
Well, I mean the whole chapter.
And I thought verse 17 about Casey Anthony.
Okay.
Because verse 17, anyone tormented by the guilt of murder will be a fugitive till death. Let no one support him or her.
Or her.
Now, that's from the NIV, the New International Version.
Oh, yeah?
Anyone tormented by the guilt of murder will be a fugitive until death.
Wow.
And that's got to apply to a woman who killed her own child.
Yes, I think she's in hiding right now.
Yeah. All right, so, Greg, we're going to switch places.
Proverbs 28:16. If you're prepared, you can grab your Bible and turn to it. A ruler who lacks understanding is a great oppressor. A ruler who lacks understanding is a great oppressor, but he who hates covetousness will prolong his days. How are you doing today, Greg?
A little out of breath. I ran the whole way.
I'm in good shape, though. Thanks
Shed
for making it
pounds.
Up here to the studio and for obeying all the speeding laws and all the traffic regulations.
Actually, I can't. Guilty as charged. I can't say that I actually obeyed them all.
Is that right?
Yeah, but okay. I made it.
Well, you don't want to admit
that. Sorry about that, Bob.
You don't want to admit that in public.
It's good to be with you, though, back in the in the Bob Enyart studios.
Yeah,
it's much awesome. To talk about.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff going on right now.
Well, you know, they started, the state of New York took another step on the road to the rim of hell this past week. Sunday, as a matter of fact, the Lord's Day was the day that Mayor Bloomberg chose to defile the Lord's name by marrying off homosexuals right there on the steps of Gracie Mansion.
He's a Republican, right?
Let's see, Michael Bloomberg.
Yeah, so we
I'm just doing some research on the internet. So
that makes sense, though, doesn't it?
No, the Republicans are our salvation. Haven't you been watching the
debt
battle?
Oh, that's right. Republican
that?
Good, Democrat bad.
That's it.
I forgot
that's
the
all
equation.
All you need to know, and you
Republican
can have
Republican good, Democrat bad.
Hey, you could have Republican a you could have good. A career in talk radio if you yeah. can, if you can just parrot those words day in and day out.
But that's what it is. I mean, essentially, it's Republican cheerleader radio.
But isn't it the Democrat Party that has codified immorality around the country? Isn't it the Democrats that we need to worry about, Greg?
Well, I mean, think about it. Michael Bloomberg, Republican. Mitt Romney, Republican, ushered in same-sex marriage, which is, by the way, legally null and void. Massachusetts is, we've said on this station many times, right, in this show.
That's right.
We have Arnold Schwarzenegger, Republican. He was going to be the savior of the Republican Party in California.
I forgot about
who illegally instituted same-sex marriage, issued 50,000-plus marriage licenses to homosexuals, and the Democrats are the ones that are morally debasing this country. They're the ones that are the evil, not to say that Democrats are good.
Well,
but,
we certainly wouldn't say that.
But is there really any difference? Is there really any difference between these two political parties?
Let's let Mayor Bloomberg speak for himself. We have some audio. I don't know how good this audio is. From a content standpoint, it's terrifying and it's horrible and awful. I just don't know how good the audio quality is. But this is Mayor Bloomberg.
Republican, New York.
Let's reiterate that he's a Republican from New York.
Republican. Why do you say that? Republican.
Republican.
In your emails and stuff, it says Republican.
I always
Why is that?
Capitalize the R-E.
Yes.
Republicans. Well, you know, the Bible, as I read, especially in the Gospels, Jesus talks quite a bit about the publicans.
The publicans.
And he doesn't have a lot of good things to say about the publicans. In fact, the publicans were in many ways the enemy of the gospel of Jesus Christ at that time. And the Republicans, they're just the latest iteration of the publicans.
I got you. Like Redux.
It's like a Redux.
Like Mitt Romney Redux.
Yeah.
That's Governor Perry, which we're going to talk about in a little bit.
Oh, Governor
as well.
Perry. Now, talk about salvation.
He's the new savior. Everyone's looking for a king.
Did trumpets
right?
go off when you said his name? I thought I heard Hail to the Chief playing already.
He's the new savior. That's right. But, we'll talk about him a little later, but what are we listening to here?
We're listening to Mayor Bloomberg,
yes,
Republican, New York.
Republican.
As he presides over the very first homosexual wedding there on the steps of Gracie Mansion. Now go ahead and roll that in, but I'm going to have you stop it, okay? When I say stop, just stop.
We are gathered here today in the presence of family and friends to witness the exchange of marriage vows of John and Jonathan.
Okay, stop right there. That right there, John and Jonathan, did he say?
Ay, ay, ay.
Did he say John and Jonathan? The audio quality wasn't that great, but I believe he said John and Jonathan. So right there in listening, right there, there's already a sense that something doesn't fit. Something's not quite right about this ceremony.
John and Jonathan.
That right there already, he's just now started the ceremony, and already there's just something that's slightly askew.
K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
Oh, man.
First comes love.
Then John and Jonathan come together to officially pledge to live the rest of their lives as one. The ancient ceremony in which they now participate and have asked us to share with them predates recorded human history.
Predates recorded
The ancient ceremony
history.
Called it ancient.
An ancient ceremony he calls
like that
marriage.
The Vikings invented, right? Like the Druids or some ancient Druid type of deal, right?
But how would he know if it predates recorded human history, since obviously that wouldn't be recorded anywhere that it was around?
Good question.
So that's like an assumption. But Well,
he's one of the cognoscenti. He's kind of in the know.
He knows things that we don't. But there's just an air of paganism about the whole thing that left me quite uncomfortable.
Yeah, but isn't it kind of a glimpse, too, into kind of what he really believes? I mean, if you think about it, it does predate human history in that Darwinists, right, humanists, believe...
Let's go with the Darwinists and the humanists.
That essentially we all evolved, all humans evolved, what, from animals?
From animals, that's
right. We're basically more evolved animals.
Yes.
Okay? No better than the animals, but no worse.
Okay.
And that the worldview states, in general, humans are really to blame for all the bad stuff going on in the world, from too many carbon emissions to overpopulation and so on and so forth, correct?
Yeah, all of that. Yeah,
drilling in the Gulf, all these things. So what he says really is in perfect accordance. It makes perfect sense to me that this ritual, right, marriage between two men,
yeah,
that marriage, I guess,
what he's saying is that
animals used to marry one another. Is that what he's saying?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if he's talking about homosexual marriage.
Before humans, who else would have gotten married?
Gerbils?
Animals.
Ferrets?
Right?
Right, sure.
According to that worldview, it was animals.
Zebras.
I don't know.
I guess so. If it predates, maybe people were getting married before they learned how to write.
Let's ask
before
Al.
Learned how to record.
Any ideas out there, Russ?
Anyway, you know
producers
what?
Producers nodding their heads no.
Well, you know what I think he's doing here? I think that he is implying.
Yes.
He's talking about.
Republican Michael Bloomberg.
He's talking about marriage in general,
mm-hmm.
that it goes way, way back.
Mm.
And so he's now fusing a modern humanist view of marriage equality, meaning that homosexuals are allowed to marry each other in public in front of God and everybody.
Right.
He's fusing that with the tradition of marriage itself.
Which,
I think that's what he's doing, but he might not even know what he's doing, and who am I to try to figure out what he's thinking?
Is there any more audio to this? Do we have any
other
ridiculous...
You said earlier that you know what Bloomberg's thinking, and I think that's impossible because I don't think even he knows.
Well, that's just speculation.
Okay. Well, you're allowed
just
to speculate. Okay, now where were we? Oh, they're taking part in an ancient ritual that predates
human history.
Recorded
you
human
know what?
History.
They know it from the fossil records, though. There is proof.
Uh-oh.
They found some fossils
yeah.
of some... Right? I think now it's not complete fossil records. Bob would probably know more about this because he's into the whole creation
yeah.
thing and stuff. But I think what happened is they probably found some bones and up near a podium where these two prehistoric dinosaurs were
yeah.
tying the knot, if
okay.
you will. And they found that, and that is proof that animals at one point predating human history.
Yeah.
And they actually kept records of it too because they were able to somehow record that. I don't know how they were. I guess the animals were very smart back then, and they were able to.
Well, you know how those fossils were preserved. You know,
yeah.
there was great cataclysms, and
that's right.
So while they were at the altar, and it was a, let's say it was a homosexual couple of pterodactyls, and they were getting married, and the earth opened up and belched out flames, and they were buried in ash and preserved
that's right.
for all of history
together.
Anyway, I was worried about that Gracie Mansion
makes
just
sense.
Being sucked down into the earth there on Sunday. Because to be a homosexual or just to be in rebellion against God, that's one thing. But to stand up in front of children and innocent people and anybody and to promote that as now an ideal, now this rebellion, this sin, now you're promoting it as an ideal, well, that's the greater sin. And that's what Bloomberg
and so,
is participating in.
But the question is why? I've been giving quite a bit of thought to this because that's what I am most interested in. Why? Why is something like this happening? And, you know, we can blame judicial activism and, you know, courts imposing, you know, legislating from the bench, all these other things.
One could say that, yes.
One could say that. But again, Republicans that were supported by a lot of Christian leaders around the country, Schwarzenegger, Bloomberg, Mitt Romney, who's the GOP frontrunner, the last I checked, all of them played an active participatory role in ushering in same-sex marriage. This guy, Rick Perry, governor from Texas, was just at the Aspen Institute.
The Aspen Institute? That's a bunch of
which the last I checked was an uber-liberal meeting up in Beautifulsville, Aspen.
I would think that they would have Rick Perry in a cage on display as some kind of animal. You're telling me he was addressing
why
this
Why do the
group?
Liberals get to get all the good spots? Like, I lived in San Francisco. They took that over.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful city. I was up in Snowmass in Aspen with my family for vacation.
Overrun.
We had a great time. And
overrun.
Everywhere you go. It's just they take it over, and then they
yeah.
force, you know, and everybody's got to... Even in Denver, you know, we thought we were getting away from it, and before I didn't realize that it was this
oh.
liberal here.
Oh, it's terrible. With San Francisco
just,
East over here.
It follows me wherever I go.
So the problem is not necessarily the courts.
No, but can I just say what Rick Perry said? Rick Perry said,
you're going to break my heart. You're going to break my heart.
He said that he didn't have a problem with homosexual marriage and that, hey,
well,
that's what they decided to do.
Maybe that just means he's not tempted to do it himself. It's like saying I don't have a problem with alcohol because I don't drink.
Well, that's true. Or, you know, I'm not against slavery per se. I personally oppose it, but I'm not against somebody else's right to own a slave.
That's kind of what Rick Perry said.
Right?
That's
so
kind of like what he said.
He basically said it's a state's rights issue, and if that's what the voters – now, what should he have said?
He should have said, man, that makes me sick. I think I need a shower.
What he should have said was, and this goes to the point, my question is, why does stuff like this happen? What happens because Christians from the pulpit and in the family and our political leaders don't, by and large, articulate a biblical worldview. They don't possess a biblical worldview. What should Rick Perry, this evangelical Christian Texas governor, should have said? He should have said unequivocally that any law contrary to God's law is no law at all.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Period. End of story.
And the crowd went
wild. And if I were Rick Perry, I would have said, and by the way, that law, that supposed law, pretend sodomite marriage law in New York that they passed, can never be legal because it's contrary to God's divinely revealed law. Any law contrary to God's law can never be legal. Therefore, I, Rick Perry, call on everybody that voted for that law, including the Governor Cuomo, who signed it, to be removed from office immediately.
Wow. But then,
now, that would never happen.
Don't say that would never happen. It probably never happened with Rick Perry.
No, I'm not saying Rick Perry should.
No, I'm saying
that Cuomo's not going to get. I mean, you have a Democrat legislature.
As far as throwing Cuomo in jail.
But that's what should be happening.
Yeah, that's what you'd be saying.
And
it's pretty simple.
So everybody from Rush Limbaugh to Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck and Focus on the Family and American Family Association, all these leading Christian organizations, should immediately be saying it's not law because it's contrary to God's law, number one. And number two, they should be calling for Cuomo to be removed from office. But instead, we just sit on our hands like good little Christian boys and girls. We ignore it. And we talk about how the debt is the big issue. Mm. The debt, the debt, the debt. Yeah, the debt's an issue.
It's an issue.
And our economy stinks. But why, the question is. And my theory,
it's
Doug,
a spending problem. Do we have a spending problem?
We do have a spending problem, but what does that emanate from? In my opinion, we have a morals problem. We have a spiritual problem.
Uh-oh.
How can we expect our elected representative to get it right on the economy when they turn a blind eye to 55 million dead babies?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to expect fiscal responsibility out of a politician who you've already allowed to legalize murder.
You allow babies to be murdered, but we trust you with my wallet. Here, let me give you my wallet. We figure that you good Republicans and Democrats, you know,
John Boehner
and Obama are going to work it out on the golf course. That's good enough for me.
Yeah.
Right?
So it's a spiritual problem that's manifesting itself as a financial problem.
Christians disobeying God. Christians not loving Jesus. Christians that have built huge, enormous mega churches that care more about their flat screen TVs than they do about poor women that are on their way to Planned Parenthood, going to have some abortionist rip that child from that mother's womb, tear that baby apart, and throw that baby at a trash receptacle. Mm. And when Christians care more about their standard of living, their car that they're driving in, their 401ks than they do about the homeless and the poor and the destitute and the orphans and the widows and those who cannot speak for themselves, then God is never going to bless that. In fact, he's going to damn it.
It's a curse. It's a curse.
If people can't see, people don't see that we are being judged by God, then I'm sorry, I don't know what world you're living in.
You know what's great about the
universe? But there's good news and there's hope to this part of the message too. But go ahead.
Absolutely.
I'm filibustering. I'm hogging the
mic.
You know what's
wonderful about the universe and can give us a tremendous insight into the mind of God is that he built judgment into the system.
Yes.
So when you say we're being judged by God, it's not as if God is throwing down judgments upon us or manipulating events in order that we be judged. He set the system up so that if we rebel against him and we don't repent and we don't want to know him, judgment will come upon us. So is God judging us? In a sense, he is, because he built the judgment into the system. And we're about to find that out in spades if we don't.
We're bringing judgment upon ourselves. Yeah. Romans chapter 1.
Yeah, and it's God's judgment.
It's God's judgment.
Yeah. Yeah, we really are.
So when we hear Mayor Bloomberg doing this, we shouldn't be surprised, should we?
Should we
give out the number and see if maybe any of our
I don't think we have time to take a call, but if you want to call and you think you have something to bring to the table, the number to call is 1-800-8-NYARK. That's 1-800-836-9278. If you want to join the broadcast, feel free to give us a call. Can I finish with Bloomberg? Because I really
finish
wanted to
with,
make...
Finish with...
I wanted to make fun
Republican
of this.
Mike Bloomberg.
I wanted to make fun of this audio. Here is the conclusion. Now, we're all familiar with a traditional wedding ceremony. Am I correct? We're all familiar with how the wedding ceremony...
Yes.
What are the final words that the preacher says? We're all familiar. No, you don't have to say
it. I'm not going
to
say it.
We all know what it is. Now, listen to Mayor Bloomberg.
History, and today, in the city, and in the state, history takes an important step forward by allowing every person to participate. It has taken New York State a long time to recognize what the two of you must have known instinctively, that two people who want to be together and raise a family together and spend the rest of their lives together have a relationship and a beautiful family that in every way deserves to be recognized and commemorated equally under the eye of the law. And today we are doing just that. Insomuch as you have consented to be united in the bonds of matrimony, and you have exchanged your wedding vows before all of those present today, therefore, by the powers vested in me by the state of New York, I pronounce you both married.
I pronounce you both married. It was as if Groucho Marx or a carnival barker had stepped. I now pronounce you married. Honk, honk. It just, something
well,
was
it is
askew.
A comedy. It's somewhat comedic.
Something was askew. And, yeah. And mostly it had to do with watching two boys up there holding hands. And then, of course, there was the whole.
The makeout.
Yeah. Well,
the kiss.
All that. I
You're so intolerant.
I turned it off before that.
You know, but so what do you say, though, to people who say, well, you Christians are intolerant. Michael Bloomberg just said the standard for getting married are two people that love one another. I mean, I guess that could include, a 16-year-old boy and his dad. You know, if they love each other, right? And if they wanted to get married, then they could get married. Or maybe
They're definitely making
two brothers could get married if they loved each other, right?
Well, based on the logic surrounding the legalization of homosexual marriage in New York, very difficult for me to argue with those points.
Right. I love my dog, and, you know, the dogs are people, too.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, because marriage predated human civilization. Dogs had it right before we did.
That's
actually
right.
Their institution. But the question is, how do Christians who might be listening to this show,
yeah,
who struggle with this question, they don't want to be seen as intolerant, or so how do you, Doug McBurney, answer those people who say, you know, these two men, they're not hurting anybody else, they love each other, what business of it of yours, what harm are they doing to civilization by marrying one another? They're not bothering you, Doug.
Well, they are bothering me.
They live in New York. You live here in Denver.
Okay, they are bothering me. It makes me physically ill. But they're also teaching the world. The law is the great teacher. So they're teaching the world, particularly young people who may not know better.
Mm-hmm.
They're teaching them that open rebellion against God is something they could and should consider participating in. And that's one of the greatest
evils.
Yeah,
but that's your religious point of view, Doug.
Yes, it is. It is.
But yeah,
it's
but
my
they,
religious
but what if
point
other
of
people,
view.
What if other people don't believe that
can't we
marriage
go to,
is
can't
a God-ordained
can't
institution?
Can't we just go to the source of truth, the Holy Bible?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, what if, you know, somebody doesn't believe that the Bible is the source of truth?
Well, let me sit down and talk with you, my friend, because you're on your way to hell and an eternity separated from God. Do you think there is a God?
Well, yeah, I do, but I think that it's a very personal thing. You know, and I think that it's not necessarily the God of the Bible. I think that God could be Islam's God. It could be the God of Judaism, the God of the Bible.
Well, I would tell you, go and start your own country, because this one was founded on this book right here.
This nation was founded on the Holy
Bible. This is where I'm going to go, and this is where our forefathers went and our founders went when they founded this. So if you want to believe that, you and Michael Bloomberg can go to Zimbabwe and take that place over and do whatever you want. Run through the jungle and be wild men. But as for me and my house, we're going to go right back to this book. This is the Bible, by the way. It's a thick book. We're going to go back to this book because this is the source of all truth.
That's right.
And
if you love people that are engaging in homosexual behavior enough as a Christian, you would tell them the truth in love, that what they're doing is sinful, no different than a lot of other sins, but it's a form of bondage. enslavement.
Yeah. And the Bible and points out that it is one of the worst sins, because all sexual sin is you receive in your own body the punishment for that sin. So it's not just like being covetous or being a gossip, which those are sins too. But sexual sin is far more devastating, physically, immediately, emotionally, spiritually.
Oh, I agree. I agree with you.
You know what? Standing up and saying that to your neighbor does not increase your chances of winning a general election, generally speaking.
That's true.
So here's the thing.
But is that really the most important thing, is winning elections?
Rick Perry was at the Aspen Institute, and he said that he doesn't have a problem with homosexual marriage. Why is it that conservative talk radio is afraid to criticize him for that?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking.
Well, in the short time we have left,
it's a rhetorical question.
I'll say that most people on quote-unquote conservative talk radio, including Christian radio, don't possess a biblical worldview. They try to sell books and to get listeners. From time to time, they'll talk about the issues they think Christians care about most. But at the end of the day, Doug McBurney, at the end of the day, Jesus says, by your what? By their fruit you shall know them.
Yeah.
So when Christians aren't talking about the most serious moral and social issues of the day, you know what's really in their heart and what's really important to them. Mm. And mammon is most important to Republicans and Democrats. That's why mammon and mammon-related issues dominate the headlines.
Yeah.
When morals, getting back to God and reforming the way we do business with God, recommitting ourselves to the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who gave us this, the greatest country in the world.
Amen.
That's the answer.
The answer to almost every question, every problem you come across in your daily life, is to put God in his proper place in your life. And that should be at the center of your life. Bob Enyart, we want to thank you for allowing us to take over the microphones.
Thanks, Bob.
Always remember,
you're the best,
to do right and risk the consequences.
KGOV. Dot gov.